GoodSuccess.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Secret Flow, The Good Success. I hope our week has been very great, and I believe that God is going to do something great in the life of everyone today. And I pray that no one returns back the same way, in the name of Jesus. We've been having a series of episodes, and today happens to be the 28th episode, which I'm really happy about. And I believe lives have been changed and people have been blessed ever since we started. So today, it's going to be a recap of episodes 1 to 19. We're going to be asking ourselves very wonderful questions, and I pray that we will also have the answers without missing it. Praise God. The episode is still titled, What is This Good Success? Good success is an expected positive outcome from an event or activity that honors God and makes you happy but does not bring pain to someone else. Success is an expected positive outcome from an event. You know, once you plan something and you want it to go in a particular direction and it goes that way, when it goes that way, then you say you are successful. And that makes it so difficult to differentiate between good success and bad success. Because if someone plans to rob a bank and did it successfully, we call it a successful robbery. And if someone plans to hurt someone else and he did it successfully, it's still success. So what is this good success? For success to be good, God must be pleased, man must be benefited, and you also must be happy. That means for you to say that what you did is good, God must be happy about what you did, and man must somehow have some benefits from it. Be it your family, other people, and, you know, they must enjoy some benefits and not have sorrow because of your success. And you also must be happy with what has happened. You don't want to have a success that leaves you unhappy at the end of the day. No, that would be bad success. So what are the main points from the previous episodes? We've been looking at this good success. What are the main points? What are the things we have learned along the way? Number one, good success is too complex for it to happen by chance or accident. We need to understand that good success is something that happens not just by chance. You don't just wake up one day and say, oh, I just became successful. I didn't know how. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen by accident. And it doesn't just happen by prayers alone. There are technicalities involved in you having a successful life. Praise God. Number two, the second point that we learned along the way in the previous 19 episodes is that good success requires adequate planning for the most important areas of life. For you to have good success, you must be a good planner. You must plan so well and make sure that you have something you want to do in the future that's you know, like a vision. You are looking, you are hoping for something to happen. Then you plan it by writing down those activities you want to see happen. So, good success requires adequate planning of the most important areas of life. And we mentioned those areas of life, including our spirituality, our family, relationships, health, and so on and so forth. You can go back to that episode to see what we said in it. You know, the title was How to Plan the 7 Most Important Areas of Life. So please go check it out. Then number three, programming is a must for an effective and efficient balanced life for good success to happen. For good success to happen in any of our lives, we must understand the law of programming. Programming tells us about assigning a time to every task that is being done, putting a time frame, saying, okay, it's not just about saying, I'm going to read my books for 1 hour between 8 to 9. If you stop at, I'm going to read my book for 1 hour, that is still planning. If you stop at, I'm going to read my book, that is like open and, you know, telling yourself what you want to do. So for 1 hour, yes, that's planning. But when you now say, the 1 hour is going to happen between 8 and 9 a.m. or 8 and 9 p.m., then that is programming. You have given it a specific time it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. So we must understand that good success happens not just by chance, but by adequate planning and programming. And what will programming do for us? It helps us to live an effective and efficient, balanced life. If we are not programming our lives or the hours of the day, then it means that you are not going to be balanced in all the areas of life. You may tend towards reading, for example. If you are a very spiritual person, you tend towards being spiritual alone without having relationships with any other person. You are relating with God, you are praying, you are going to church, but all the people in your streets or your neighbors, your family members, you have no relationship with them. It means you still don't have good success, because good success doesn't stand alone. And now, if you don't program well, if you're someone who loves sports, you may end up spending the whole day watching football, and God forbid, the person ends up a poor person because he didn't plan his life well. Praise the Lord. So programming is a must for an effective and efficient, balanced life. And then number four, we talked about the law of secrecy. It must be obeyed to avoid unnecessary headaches and battles in life. We must understand that there's a timing for everything. A time to speak, a time to keep quiet, a time to say all your plans, a time to withhold information. For example, if you are going to do a particular business and there are other people in that line of business, I want to stand ahead of them. You don't tell everybody what you want to do so that they will go ahead to do what they want to do before you know. You make sure you have your plans in secrecy, plan it well, execute it so that it can be a step ahead of competition. So that's just an example of the law of secrecy. So we must learn that there are secrets to be kept and there are secrets to be revealed. A good example of this in the Bible is the life of Samson. He was supposed to keep the secret of his strength. God told his parents that this man, Samson, must never have his hair cut. He must live as a Nazarite all the days of his life. But this guy, because of his inordinate affection for strange women, for those who are not in the covenant, he ended up revealing all his secrets to the enemy. And because of that, he was conquered and he died before his time. He died a shameful death because he didn't learn how to keep his mouth shut. So we must understand that we have to keep our mouth shut at certain times in life. Praise the Lord. So please, we must keep our mouth shut at the right time and learn to speak at the right time. So the law of secrecy must be obeyed to avoid unnecessary headaches and battles in life. For example, you may just end up fighting battles you're not supposed to fight because you didn't learn to keep quiet at some points in life. There are some people, the only reason they are not married is because they told their parents too soon about the person they want to get married to. Or some people, they married the wrong person just because of that. They have not even settled this in their mind, but because they are old, you know, they have advanced in age, they ended up telling their parents, "Oh, I want to get married to this man." Eventually, maybe they found out that this man is not suitable enough. But because, you know, of the culture of wherever you may be, because your parents are already aware, they may just pressure you into marrying this person because you didn't keep your mouth shut, didn't know when to tell people things and when to keep quiet. So there are things that you eventually tell people, but if you keep quiet about it until it is finalized or until it is ready. Praise the Lord. So, what are the other things we have learned in these past 19 episodes? The law of focus must be obeyed for good success to happen. The law of focus. Focus is doing the same required thing as if other options do not exist. We must understand that. Focus is doing the same required thing as if other options do not exist. For example, if you have been called to do a pastor, it doesn't mean that you are not capable of doing business. It doesn't mean you're not capable of singing. It doesn't mean you're not capable of doing other things in life. So we must understand that focus is not doing that thing that is required while forgetting other things so that you can be successful in your vision. Or for example, maybe you've been called as a business person. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian and it doesn't mean you cannot preach. The only thing is you may not just make preaching your major thing in life. In fact, you are reaching people through your business. That is what God has called you to do. So you can't say because you're a Christian, now I must be a pastor, I must be a businessman, I must... No. Focus makes you do the only thing or the required thing as the major thing of your life so that you can have good success in life. So we must understand that focus is required for good success to happen. Praise the Lord. And another thing we've learned in these past 19 episodes is that confidence is better than talent. And it is a talent in disguise. Confidence itself is a talent. Now, I've seen over the years, you know, especially with those who sing secular songs, many of these guys that we term them as, you know, they've blown. Many of them don't really have sonorous voices. It's not as if they have the best of voices in life. No. But these guys are just confident that they're going to make it in singing. Many of them get out there, they sing what you can't even make sense out of, and they are making a lot of money. Why? Because these guys are just confident. And we see a lot of Christians who are not confident about what they can do, who are ashamed of what they can do, who cannot even face people to negotiate good deals when they are getting a good job. They just want to live by, they just want to, you know, just have an okay life. No, that God has called us to be more than that. So you have to be confident. What are we to be confident about? Be confident in your God. Know that there is a God in heaven who is capable of making you successful in life. You have to be confident in yourself, in the gifts that God has given you. You have to be confident that you have the best gifts in life. If you have been gifted in singing, then you must know that, yes, I'm the best singer in the world. You have to attack it from that angle. And once you do that, success is sure along the line. Praise the Lord. Then we also saw the law of currency. In that episode, we learned that being skilled is not enough. Having talent is not enough. But having a currently relevant skill and expertise is required for a never-fading success. I'm going to take that again. The law of currency tells us that being skilled is not enough, but having a currently relevant expertise is required for a never-fading success. None of us want to be the former successful person in life. No, we want to be consistently successful until our time here on earth is finished. So how do we achieve that? You must make sure that your giftings, your talents, your skills, your profession, that you are in the current relevant stage of that profession. For example, if you are a singer, you must know the newest skill in singing. You must know the newest way of singing. For example, the way people recorded their music in 1960s is not how they record it now. Everything is now digital. So you can't say because you are very good in singing, then you're not going to go digital. You're just going to sing it the old way. And, you know, I'm not going to digitally master anything. I'm just going to produce like that. The person is not going to have any good success. Or, for example, you're a teacher and you said, oh, I'm very good at teaching. I have very good skills in talking to people and making them understand. But you don't want to learn the digital skills of imparting knowledge. You don't want to realize that people can learn through YouTube or learn through podcasting or different avenues. You don't want to learn that and you said, okay, I'm going to reach a lot of people. It's not going to happen because the currency of this age requires that everything be digitalized. Or you're a pastor and you said, saying, no, we're not going to use TV. We're not going on YouTube. No, we're just going to preach to some people and a million people will gather. The person is deceiving himself because no matter how good you are in talking, you need skills. You need the relevant, latest technology to reach a lot of people. And that is why someone like me can be talking from here and reaching many people who are going to listen to this episode, who are listening now, or who will listen later in the future. The power of technology. So we must understand that currency is a law that is required for good success. We must be current. We must be aware and conversant with the latest technology, latest skill in that area of life. Or leadership, for example, you want to lead people, but you don't want to learn how people understand things right now. It doesn't work that way. We must understand that the way people learned in the last 20 years is not how they are learning right now. The people learn differently now. In fact, if you want people to learn what you are saying, you have to find a way of reducing how long you talk. Before, people could sit down comfortably listening to a 4-hour lecture. It's going to work. But now, you want to look for a way of talking for maybe 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. 2 hours, most people will not sit down with you. So if you're going to teach long, you have to find a way of, okay, let's now introduce some visuals. You want to add some videos. You want to add some skills. These are the ways by which people will listen to you. So you must understand the currency of your audience or your market, if you're in business. If you are selling goods now and you're not on WhatsApp, you are not on Telegram, you are not on TikTok, and you are selling goods, the person has limited himself already, himself or herself. So the law of currency tells you that the way you're going to approach your business or what you do is not the same with what it used to be. And these things change every day. And the way you are reaching your audience will be different as time goes by. I don't know what the next 20 years will be, but I'm sure it will never look like what we are doing now. In fact, whatever we are using now may be totally outdated when compared with the next 5 years, the next 10 years. So we must understand the law of currency. How many of us remember BlackBerry? My child cannot remember BlackBerry. He doesn't know it. And may never ever see. If he sees it, he just think it's one of the things you put in the museum. Why? Because BlackBerry is no longer relevant. The same way, this same BlackBerry was what some people almost killed themselves to get. But it just faded off like that. I remember cameras, you know, all those times, all those old Nikon cameras. Several cameras that we used in the past that you have to learn it. Maybe you stay on the apprenticeship for like 2 years to learn how to take photographs. Right now, you can take almost any camera, you know. Their digital cameras are very, very good. If you have an iPhone, you can almost do and undo with it. People record professional videos with just iPhones and they come out very well, very high resolution. Now we must understand that the law of currency makes you realize that the things, the way they used to do it, is not the way it is, and it's not the way it's going to be. The only thing that remains the same in this light is the Word of God. The Word of God, in fact, the Bible says, is mercies are new every morning. Why is God renewing his mercy every day? Because he knows that the challenges of life we face are going to be different every day. So he renews them, the mercies for us every day. The mercy of yesterday does not cover today. How do we know that? Because you have committed some sins yesterday, forgive you. You are doing something else today against his will. He's going to give you, you know, a new kind of approach. He's going to forgive you afresh. So that's why it says his mercies are new every morning. So we must also apply that tactic in our own lives too. In business, in career, you must forever look for the newest way, the most efficient way, the most effective way of achieving things. Praise the Lord. So, let me just do a recap for those who are just joining us. We define what good success is, and we defined it to be the expected positive outcome from an event or activity that honors God, makes you happy, but does not bring pain to someone else. People cannot be sad by what you are doing, and you are still saying that it's good success. No, it's not going to be good success. Main point, we said good success is too complex for it to happen by chance or by accident. It must be planned, it must be programmed, and you must also apply the law of secrecy. Stop telling people all your plans. Keep some of those, even if you tell them, don't tell them to detail all the time, except the Holy Spirit permits you. And that takes us to the point in which you have to be working in line with the Holy Spirit. You want to say some things, the Holy Spirit just tell you to keep quiet. This requires being sensitive in the spirit. John the Baptist was thrown into an island, into a very lonely place. He could have just thought about suicide. What did he do? He said, I was in the spirit. He switched to the spirit, and the Holy Spirit turned it around, and the whole of Revelation, the book of Revelation, came out. Out of a situation that should have been pathetic, out of a situation that he should have been thinking about suicide, to just kill himself and to be blaming God. No, it went into the spirit. The same way you and I, to have good success in life, you must be a man or a woman of the spirit, to be sensitive at all times to what God wants to do for you, to what God wants you to do for him, where God wants you to be, to where God does not want you to be. There are some things in life that are for you, but they are not yet for you. They are for you, but you are not supposed to assess them yet. So we must understand that. Praise the Lord. John the Beloved in the Bible was the one that was sent to the Isle of Patmos. It's not John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. So we must understand that
being in the spirit. Yes, that's one of the things we learned in the past episode. The law, you know, how to live a no-regret life. It requires being in the spirit at all times. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Letting Him dictate every step on the way. From personal experience, every step I've taken in line with the Holy Spirit, I've never had to regret it. Those steps were majorly stress-free. Everything worked according to plan. Why? Because the Holy Spirit prompted it. Or there are two ways we could approach this. You can say you want to take a step and the Holy Spirit said, yes, go ahead. Or you are not even thinking about a step and the Holy Spirit says, take this step. So either of these two situations will always be in them in life. You want to take a step, you ask the Holy Spirit, should I take it? And He says, go ahead. Or you are not even thinking about it and the Holy Spirit brings it to you that, do this. Then the other way around is, you want to do something and the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. If you follow these three rules, you will live a no-regret life. And I pray that this will be your portion, my portion in Jesus' name. I'm going to say those three things again. Number one, you want to take a step. You ask the Holy Spirit that, should I do this? It will. If you obey God, whatever He says in that line, it will lead you to a no-regret life. Maybe the Holy Spirit just came to you without you thinking about that line of action. And He says, go this way. If you go that way, you are not going to have regrets. Or you want to take a step and the Holy Spirit says, don't take that step. Or He says, wait. Or He says, just wait. I'm going to tell you what to do next. If you obey the Holy Spirit, you're going to live a no-regret life. Praise the Lord. So that's a quick recap of all the things we've done in time past. Last week, we were able to also see the law of perception. That for you to have good success, you can't just be seeing things from your own angle alone. No, you have to see situations from the light of other people. If you're a leader, you have to see from where people know. If you want them to understand what you're doing, you have to talk from their level. You are at your level, but you are unveiling that project to them at their level because they can only see from their level. They can't see at your level. Once you do that, you are also bringing them to your level gradually. The other way around is if you are a follower in a particular place, you want to see from the angle of your leader. If a leader says, oh, work is not going on well, you don't just say, oh, it's because he's selfish. No. You want to say, okay, if I own this business, how will I treat this responsibility given to me? It will make all the difference in life. If you look from the angle of your spouse, it will save you a lot of headache. For example, if your spouse says, I don't like that, and you feel it is the best thing in the world, try to look at it from this angle. Maybe you understand what he's saying. Maybe you can even convince him better if you look at his angle. Praise the Lord. So, law of perception, listen to the last episode. It explains that better. We also talked about getting your prayers answered all the time. Please go and listen to that episode. Many of us are praying amiss, and many of us are praying the wrong way. Yes, we are asking the right thing, but we are not asking that thing the way we should. So we have to understand that for us to enjoy the blessings of God, we must know how to ask. We must know when to ask, and we must know even the ways that God gives these things to us. You don't want to ask God when you're supposed to be making decrees. You don't want to be making decrees when you're supposed to be asking God for forgiveness. Our prayers require different approaches. Different situations require different approaches. So let's listen to that episode again to get an understanding of how God answers prayers. Praise the Lord. What else did we look at just in closing? Yes, we talked about discerning between waiting and wasting away. We don't want to just say we are waiting on God when God is actually waiting on us. So let's look at that episode to learn how to maximize our waiting period and to know when, you know, how to discern between waiting and wasting. Because someone could just be wasting away and the person claims to be waiting on God. Praise the Lord. Also, we talked about how to overcome delays and stagnation. Delays and stagnation is not the plan of God. If you are stagnated, it's not the plan of God. There is a waiting period, fine. But for waiting period not to turn into delays and stagnation, there are things we need to do. We need to understand the law of continuous progress. God wants you to have progress along the way. It may not be as fast as you think it should. Mind the word that I said, as you think it should, it may not be that fast. But you're going to see progress. in every area of life if you are actually waiting on God. Praise the Lord. So let's listen to this episode, and I pray that as we do that, we are blessed in the name of Jesus. We are going to open this up now for us to ask our questions. I'll be happy to spend about 10 minutes or more on questions. So if you have some questions based on the past episodes, or some questions came to your mind now that we are talking, please feel free to talk about them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can unmute your mic and ask a question or make a comment. Have you been getting blessed since this episode started? So please, it's time to comment. Praise the Lord. So I'm waiting. I'm going to call names. Sister Rita, are you there? Hello? Sister Joy? Are you able to unmute your mic?
Hello, good evening, sir.
Okay, yes. Good evening. Good afternoon from where I am.
Sorry, I didn't unmute my mic because of my friend. I talked
to okay.
But I just like jump back. My question is, can we be successful and not be?
And not be
fruitful.
I didn't hear the last part.
Can one be successful and not be fruitful?
And not be guilty?
Fruitful.
I want to be successful and not be fruitful. Okay, so we take that as question one. Okay, is that all the question from you, or there's another one?
So for now, answer. Thanks.
Okay, all right. Okay. Let's take any other question. Do we have any other question from someone else? Yinka, do we have any question? Okay, so I'm going to get to this question straight away. Can one be successful without being fruitful? I would say no. It's not possible. Because good success in itself is... fruitfulness in itself is another word for good success. When Jesus came to the fig tree and wanted to eat, and the fig tree did not produce fruits, what did Jesus do? He asked the tree to dry up. So being fruitful means producing results. Being fruitful means producing results. And success and results go hand in hand. In fact, success in itself is equal to results. The only thing is that we now added good to it. So making a good success. So we can also say good fruitfulness. So producing results is what is called fruitfulness. If you plant a mango tree, what are we expecting? Fruitfulness. So if that mango tree is not fruitful, then we can say that the whole action of planting that tree was unsuccessful. So for every Christian, God wants us to be fruitful in every area of life. We want to produce results. We want to have the expected result in every area of life. And that is why it's so sensitive that we have to define what good success is. And that is why we said three people have to be involved in your success. God must be involved. God must be pleased. He must be happy about what you are doing, about the results you are getting. God must be pleased. If God is not pleased, that success is automatically a bad success. Then number two, people must be blessed by it, or at least nobody must be pained by it. You can't be hurting people in your fruitfulness and say it's good success. That makes it bad success. So nobody must be hurt as a result of what you're doing. Then lastly, you know, you are the one planting the tree, must be happy about it. What you are achieving must be bringing you pleasure in one way or the other. Maybe bringing money to your pocket, giving you joy in your heart. It must happen. So we must always understand that good success requires that you are also happy about what you're achieving. So in answer to the question, good success and fruitfulness are actually the same. So someone must be fruitful in every area of life for good success to happen. Praise the Lord. I hope the question was answered.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do you have any other question? It's about time we close. Or comments? Okay, so let's remember next week, let's invite someone. Please invite someone 9 p.m. to 9:30, and we have like extra 5 minutes for questions and answers, just like we did today. And I pray, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word you've sent to us today. Thank you for reminding us all the things we've learned in these past 20 weeks. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that everyone who's been joining these episodes, the Lord, they will not remain the same again. For those who are also listening to the recordings, let them all be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so shall. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we are prayed. Amen. So see you next week.
Amen.
And remember to have really good success in every area of life. Yes. And bye.
Amen.
Thank you for joining.
Amen. Bye, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
The good success.com.